Drive to right field. Jack Sawinski hits this one out of here. A line drive home run for Sawinski. He's back.
He is back. And provided the only run between the Pirates and Dodgers at PNC Park. This is the Big K Morning Show, and joining me every Wednesday at this time is our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Boy, that set up to be a fun evening and ended up being a great pitcher's duel, but the fact that Jared Jones was able to strike Ohtani out twice was icing on the cake.
Yeah, I thought the first one was really cool because, you know, it's his hometown team. You could feel the energy in the place. I think the first four pitches were 100 miles an hour. And then he's got Ohtani, who's deadly against any pitch, and he just blows one by him at 101. That was fun stuff. And then, you know, later in the game, in the fifth and sixth inning, it's like he got stronger. He said the nerves started to settle because, you know, he used to go to Dodger Stadium all the time as a kid. So once it started to settle down, you saw it. The control be a little bit better. And this is a huge start for him because, you know, he was roughed up in Detroit last time out, then comes back and faces that lineup. I mean, Larry, that lineup, the first three batters are all MVPs. It's crazy.
And matched their payroll against the Pirates, and they weren't able to manufacture one run is remarkable.
And now Paul Skenes today, so that's cool. But, yeah, I thought it was an important step for Jared Jones because you kind of wondered, okay, how's the kid going to react to getting knocked around a little bit, deal with the emotions? And I think what's nice about Jones is he just brings this attitude. I mean, I think you could see it whether you're at the game or not. I mean, he's aggressive. That might lead to mistakes sometimes. But I think when he starts, he sets a tone because he's going to go right after guys. And I think the other players, it's almost a leadership thing where, hey, come follow me. I'm going to go after these guys.
And as you mentioned, Paul Skenes on the mound tonight for the Pirates take on the Dodgers. They'll have a game tomorrow, and then they welcome the Twins for the weekend. Let's shift gears for a minute. Cam Hayward back.
Larry, it was funny. We were over there, and someone had kind of said, hey, you probably want to go over the defensive lines because 97's back. So he kind of hustled over there, and there's, you know, we all have our phones out, and Tomlin recognizes it. So he goes over and puts his arm around Cam and then looks at us as if posing for a picture, and they're pointing to each other like, see, everything's fine here. There are no issues here. Yeah, I mean, it was good to see him go through practice, and I think he cleared up some of the things. You know, the spat he's having right now with Ryder from the PG is more about he doesn't want people to think that he's still not talking to his team. He had told us that he'd been watching films of practice and had been in communication with guys with things that he liked and didn't like. He'd been talking to the coaches. He has had discussions with the front office about a new contract, but kind of laughed when he said that's not going to get done tomorrow. And he believes that he's, you know, he wants three more years, and he believes he should be paid like a top five player in the league, a defensive lineman in the league, which is big time money. And when asked about, hey, you're 35 and that's not typical, he's like, well, I'm not typical. I'm a guy who can do a lot of things. So it's going to be an interesting negotiation because he also said again, like, he wants to be a Steeler his whole life, but he wants to continue to play. Now, that might be negotiating, but he seemed pretty serious that, you know, he feels like he's got three more years left in him.
And let's be honest, this would be his last big opportunity, right?
Yes. Yeah, if you were to sign a one-year deal, he's not getting anything beyond that the following year, even if he has a big year. I mean, he's at that time, unfortunately. It's going to be a tough decision how they work a contract. Here's the beauty of having Omar Khan as your GM. He's the guy who makes these contracts work. Like, he finds ways to make it make sense for the team and for the player. This is his forte. So, I mean, we've seen it with TJ. We saw it with Minka where they have these hold-ins. I would expect, even though Cam didn't commit to doing that, that's probably what we'll see come training camp.
All right, you got a few more minutes. I got a couple of follow-up questions.
Yeah.
All right, we're with Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. The name Lemieux, you don't have to say anything else in this town. However, the name Lemieux is atop the local PGA golf tour. We'll tell you why next. And we continue our conversation with our Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathorn. I saw this and I thought, oh, Jeff, he's a golf guy too. He'll appreciate that the name Lemieux is atop the local PGA. I guess they have a championship, right?
They do. And yeah, Austin isn't bad. You know, his dad was a good golfer, amongst other things that he did. Seriously, Mario was a really good golfer in Austin. You know, he played hockey in college, and then he decided he wanted to give golf. And I think he's got aspirations to take it to the next level. It's just, it's so difficult. I mean, we all go to courses. Any of us that play will watch somebody at a local course and go, wow, that guy's really good. But it's just a whole other level to get to play, you know, on weekends on the PGA Tour. So we'll see what happens with Austin. But, hey, good for him. He's been kind of sniffing around winning some of these tournaments, and that was a nice win for him.
Yeah, at South Point, they had the Tri-State Section PGA Open Championship, and Austin Lemieux shot a 3-under par 69 and finished the 18-hole event 2-under, 142. And good for him, because I think, Jeff, that's the third time in a row an amateur has won that open event here in the region.
Yeah, he's, if you're ever, like, jonesing for some golf, you're getting ready for next year's U.S. Open, and you want to go watch some of these local events. I mean, the talent, I mean, even with the youth, I mean, we all remember Neil Shipley and what he did at the Masters. Well, there's a whole bunch of Neil Shipley wannabes that play some really good golf at courses all over the area.
And coming up this weekend, DeMar Hamlin's having Chasing M's Foundation, a whole weekend of events, including Friday, a youth camp at Stow Rocks High School. DeMar Hamlin, of course, the Central grad from the Stow Rocks area, obviously played at the University of Pittsburgh and in Buffalo, continuing to utilize the dramatic recovery he had from a heart failure on the football field to help encourage people to learn CPR and AED training. They have a celebrity basketball game this Saturday night at North Allegheny, and then on Sunday at Stow Rocks High School, the All-Star game. And I'm looking at the list, Jeff. They have the blue and red team. So you got DeMar Hamlin, of course, and then on the red team, Aaron Donald, guess who? And then there's a whole list of guys, Tyler Boyd, you have Brandon Marshall, and a list of celebrities. So if you're interested in helping Chasing M's Foundation, that's this weekend, and we salute DeMar Hamlin.
We all think we're tough guys. You're sitting there in the lane, and Aaron Donald's driving, and you're thinking about taking a charge. I'm Olaying. I don't know about you, Larry. I like to think I play hard, but in that scenario, have the basket, young man.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Yes.
meanwhile, so what's the game plan now for the Steelers after these OTAs? There is a bit of a break right before St. Vincent College in La Trobe.
So these are the last 2 days of voluntary work. Next week, it's mandatory minicamp. So if players don't report, they can be fined. I mean, often if it's a big-time player and he misses for a day, the team isn't going to fine them. But, yeah, everybody has to be there next week. So anybody who's been missing, they would face fines for not showing up next week. So I have 3 days of that. And then they, as you said, they get a break. And now they're looking next year. Some in the Players Association want to move all of this to like the second week of June, and then basically go from June to February, which I don't know if that's a good thing. If you have kids and you're a football player, that's not a good thing. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, they're talking about changing up the offseason next year. So basically you go from about now all the way through to the Super Bowl, which I think will be on St. Patrick's Day soon.
Oh, my gosh. You're only half joking. I know the NFL commissioner, I almost said Pete Rozelle, Roger Goodell, they want to add an 18th regular season game. They want to maybe push the Super Bowl so that it is a natural three-day weekend with President's Day in mid-February. That's not happening yet, but that's definitely on the near-term radar.
And it's in every sport. I mean, yesterday was an anniversary of, I think it was the first Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh, of the parade and everything going on in Pittsburgh. They haven't even started the Cup Finals, and they won't until Saturday, I believe. So, I mean, it's not just them. I mean, all the leagues are expanding their seasons, and it takes a toll physically on these guys.
Yeah, and you
but they get compensated fairly well.
Connor McDavid, a superstar in Edmonton, taking on Florida. That's, I believe, the longest distance between two Stanley Cup final teams. Little trivia stat there. And by the way,
nice.
The NHL combines are going on right now in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So we're getting a look at the next generation of talent.
Yeah, it's crazy because the finals almost end. Almost go right into the draft. I mean, these seasons just, and it's not just the NFL. I mean, seasons, all these leagues are trying to be relevant 365.
I got
and, you know, the NHL's doing it. The NFL, they're masters of it, though.
Well, appreciate your time as always this morning, Jeff, and we'll check in with you periodically, but looking forward to making contact every Wednesday at this time.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
All right, enjoy. You know, Kevin Colbert showed me there's a new app, Jeff, that you can hold your phone up. It'll tell you what kind of bird that is chirping in the background. I'll send the app to you.
Thank you.
That's great stuff. This is the Big K Morning Show. Appreciate you joining us, Larry Richard. With our team, including anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and every Wednesday we check in with the man behind the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter, is the president and CEO. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well, and appreciate your time this morning. I was thinking about when we would talk this morning to get your reaction to some of the things that have been going on. I joked to Paul Rasmussen Monday that we should have a legal segment every day because there's so much news focused on our justice system. And that's the topic that you want to talk about this morning, starting with last Thursday's deliberation and then conviction of 34 federal counts on former President Donald Trump. A lot of people questioning the justice system. Let's start there. Your reaction?
Well, I'd say, I think, you know, the first thing, my reaction was, you know, I came to the question, is it true that privileged white men are targeted by the justice system? Because, you know, Trump, whether people agree with his, you know, fairly charged or not, I think he raised the question that he's being targeted, and even Hunter Biden as well, which they're privileged white men. And so the reality is that there's significant evidence that the justice system in the United States disproportionately benefits white people, especially white men compared to other people of color. Doesn't mean that some white folks aren't disadvantaged by the justice system, but on average, white and privileged white men specifically benefit. So the claim that someone is being targeted, they could be, he could be, or could be not, right? But it's more of an anomaly. And these disparities can be attributed to factors such as implicit bias and historical legacy of racism in the United States that led to systemic issues that tend to view people of color more negatively. So as I said before, although, you know, white men benefit unequally from the system, but there are some white people who can be targeted. But the reality is that most people of color are disproportionately impacted. And so, for example, some data is that, you know, black people are arrested 2.6 times higher than white people, and Hispanic people are arrested 1.5 times higher. And so Black people only represent 26% of all arrests in the United States, but only 13% of the population, and even are sentenced more greatly as well. So the point I'm making is that maybe Trump, you know, as he says, he's being targeted, but the reality is it's more Black and brown people who are disproportionately impacted by the justice system.
Yeah, that would be
based on the data.
True, I'm sure, outside of in these cases with former President Trump and then the president, the sitting president, Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
Yes.
There is definitely politics involved to some degree. Would you not agree to that?
I would say there probably is, but I would say with both people, if they're breaking a law, that they have to be accountable. You know, because an average Joe, and like I said, especially people of color, are disproportionately targeted every day. And the data overwhelmingly, the real victims are the folks that I just mentioned who are disproportionately impacted by the justice system more regularly. So it's more of an anomaly that the privileged are targeted. Doesn't mean they can't be, but it's more of an anomaly. I'm more of a data person, so yeah.
Well, I understand. Obviously, people have very, very strong feelings both ways about.
Oh yes.
Particularly former President Trump. As you know, the country politically seems to be split almost exactly right down the middle, and on any given day can bounce between the two candidates for president. So an important election, and that will ultimately be whoever is elected in November, be kind of the final word on that portion of it. So back here on a more practical daily matter, what initiatives is the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh implementing to support those individuals who have been incarcerated, who are trying to reintegrate and get fair treatment to try to get their lives restarted?
Right. Well, before I go into that quickly, I just want to also, I think empathy is important, right? I see there's probably people extending empathy towards Biden's son, Hunter. There's people extending great empathy to Trump. And I think it's important that we extend empathy to those who are, like I said, the data show being disproportionately impacted. So I would challenge people to show the same empathy towards Trump and Hunter Biden that they showed towards Black and Latino people as well. I think that's so important, supporting, acknowledging bias, educating folks, reforming policy, and creating systems. In terms of what we're doing, you know, we're always supporting common sense, changes in a law. So, for example, in December 2023, they passed like common sense reform for probation violations that disproportionately impact, you know, people of color. But also it actually saves money, too, and helps improve lives by not putting people back in jail for frivolous things. We also, through our programs, our Urban Senior Job Program, so we do have some formerly incarcerated people there that we provide free paid job training to. Everybody in the program isn't formerly incarcerated, but we do provide opportunities there. We have our Opportunity Worker Program where we're connecting people, regular people and people who are formerly justice involved, to job opportunities and helping remove barriers for them. And finally, we have our Urban Tech Job Program. We've talked about, actually, we have classes enrolling soon where we try to, you know, we're trying to diversify the tech industry with more women, more Black folks and other folks of color. White people are in there too, but we're really trying to really target underrepresented groups. And so that's another way as well. And I say, you know, through our 3D campaign with the National Urban League, you know, demand diversity, inclusion, defending democracy, and defeating poverty. So we're always trying to rise to both because we want everybody to be able to participate in an American dream. But I think in our society, it is grieving that we are so polarized. And there's always like cult followings of different folks. So, you know, I think for Trump, he could do nothing wrong. And people would not say anything, you know, he did anything wrong, right? But I think even with Biden as well, there may be people who look at Hunter Biden and think that he can't do anything wrong. But I would encourage people to be objective, to not be like in a cult mindset and realize that, you know, you can't paint people with a broad brush, right? People have their reasons for following different candidates, you know, but that we really not be brainwashed. I feel like we're so polarized that, you know, someone could shoot someone in front of us. We'll say, oh, though, this is political. You know what I mean? That we not lose our reasoning and our common sense and our values of decency, of character, no matter who the person is, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden. I think that's something that I see that has really dissipated.
ULPGH.org. If you'd like more information, the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, President and CEO Carlos T. Carter. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Carlos, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Not only can you listen to KDK at 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDK for 102 years. But we also have this free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, that you can download. Take us with you. It's like a DVR, too. You can go back and listen to important interviews. And you can watch us, the Ireland Contracting video feed. Go to kdkradio.com, click on Watch, KDK Radio live stream. We're getting better and better at adding features to that as well, including some of our guests who appear on screen, which is really amazing. Aaron Farragonio is our producer. Aaron, thanks for facilitating those. It is actually great to actually see people while you're talking to them, even though it's on the radio, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Love it. It's like a FaceTime.
It's a whole new technology. I have an update for you and our audience. Earlier this morning, we had talked about, with Paul Rasmussen, this, it's J-O-R-O, Jorro spider. And it caught my attention for this reason. And the fact is that it's a giant, venomous, flying spider with 4-inch legs that is heading to the East Coast. And I just confirmed Dr. Chad Gore, our entomologist friend.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows all about it and excited to tell us about it tomorrow morning.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say, because there are some key words in there. 4-inch long legs. Venomous.
Yeah, that's the other one that gets your attention. Flying spider. And here's the one I love. The giant venomous spider can parachute through the air by shooting out these strands of, like, silk threads, you know, that they would use to weave a web.
Yeah, we're going to need our guest to paint a picture tomorrow.
So you won't want to miss that. To add that to the spotted lantern fly, the stink bugs, the cicadas in some states. Who knows what's next?